This morning we're going to be looking at three different texts, and they'll be on the board. And Brian fixed me up with that this morning, a little better than what I usually try to do. But he's helping me out every chance he can, and I appreciate that, that's for sure. But, you know, folks, it is Christmas, and it's a very special time. It's a time that the kids are all stirred up and looking forward to Christmas. But it should be a time that all of us older people are looking forward to Christmas as well. It's a time that God sent His Son, Jesus, as a babe. And He sent that babe to us knowing that one day He would be crucified upon a cross. And knowing that it would be His blood that was shed. That would be the blood that would save us. That would give us eternal life. So we know that we should be happy ourselves as older people. Not because we're getting some gift that we all wanted for a long time, but because we have received the greatest gift that we will ever receive. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the greatest, biggest gift of all. And we thank Him so much for that. So we asked ourselves this morning, where is Jesus now? Where did He go? He came, He lived, He died, and God rose Him from the dead and on the third day. And so where's He at? Where in the world is Jesus at? Well, folks, He's with the Father in heaven. And He is going to be there to welcome us, each and every one of us, in as we get to heaven. He is very much alive today as He was the very day that He got here on this earth. And I wish that if you haven't, you can look it up, I'm sure, some kind of way. I don't know how to do that. I'm not very techie, but Tammy is, and she can do it for me. And she did this week. And she pulled up Kevin Costner in the first Christmas. And I wish you'd check it out. It's something new. It's not that I agree with everything. It's a movie. It's all in the script. You know how that goes, Rusty. That's what Ralph used to tell us. It's all in the script. But that's what is happening. But it's a wonderful reminder of how Jesus came and how He lived and died for us. It's a good show. You need to check it out. But this morning, as we take a look at Hebrews 1, we're going to see that God has Jesus right beside Him in all the scriptures that we're going to look at this morning. So it says in Hebrews 1, 1 through 4, it says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us, His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, He created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave Him is greater than their names. This is a reading of God's Word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we look at this, we see that it tells us very plainly that long ago that God had, when He created the universe, Jesus was there. He was there in a big, big part of creating the universe. And He spoke to His Son, and He promised everything to the Son. Everything to the Son. Folks, as we take a look at ourselves, you ever think about God promising you to the Son? You belong to Jesus. He died for you. He spent His blood for you. You are His. But folks, there's so many things in the world that we're going to talk about again here in a few minutes. But there's so many things in the world that we fail to want to give to Jesus. We fail to want to give up here on this earth. the things that we love, the things that we cherish. We're not giving them up. We're not going to give them up, Mike. Well, maybe that's your stumbling block. Maybe that's what you need to give up to be able to understand where Jesus really is. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And it says that God's glory expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. This is God's command that when He had cleansed us from our sins through the blood of Jesus, that He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Isn't that awesome, folks? God had prepared for Him a place right beside Him at His right hand. And He said, when Jesus comes to live, is died on the cross, and He is raised from the dead, and He comes back to heaven to live with me, He will be at my right hand. He will be sitting here every day. He will be the one that we honor. He will be the one that we worship. You know, God had told me one day, He said, you know, Mike, I look so forward to getting to heaven. And I said, well, I do too. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. And, you know, He said, well, we're going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we're going to be worshiping Him. And we're going to worship Him 24/7. And I said, I believe you're right, brother. And He said, I cannot imagine how that's going to be. But, folks, we come to church and we worship Him 1 hour. We hear about Him 1 hour and we got to go. Because we got to get to the restaurant before everybody else does. We're not even interested in being here 2 hours or hour and a half or 3 hours. No, that's not in my plans for today. I have to go. And a lot of people will get up and leave. That's okay. That's everybody to their own deal. Everybody has their own thing. But what I'm trying to say is, the fact that if we don't enjoy worshiping God here, we're not going to enjoy it later. So Jesus is at God's right hand. He is sitting there. He will judge the quick and the dead. He will judge us, folks, as we come to the door and we knock. If you look at Philippians, let's look at Philippians. It tells us, 5 through 11, it tells us that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being, and when He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of the highest honor, and He gave Him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, He humbled Himself. He was God. Jesus came. He was raised, and when He got to be bigger, everybody knew that He was God. He was at somewhere around 12 years old. He was in the temple and He was teaching. He wasn't just there listening. He was teaching everybody else. They realized that He was a very special person. They didn't really realize that He was the Messiah just yet. Today, folks, we live in a time where we have the Bible. We have everything in front of us. And everything we can do is to read this book and to see exactly who Jesus is. He humbled Himself as a slave. How many of us humble ourselves as a slave to anyone else? Well, yesterday we humbled ourselves and we delivered food boxes. Did you see anybody that needed a food box as you delivered food boxes yesterday? I hope you did. I hope you saw yesterday how blessed that you really are. I hope you saw that as maybe you're thinking, I'm kind of been cut short. I'm not as blessed as a lot of other people. But you're so much more blessed than the other people around you. So much more blessed. We delivered a lot of food boxes yesterday. And like I said, we delivered 129. We got some texts back. We got texts from different people. But we got one text from this lady, and I want to read it to you this morning, folks. And this is what being in the hands and feet of God is. This lady we delivered this food box to, she said, "I just got home, and there are not enough words to thank you for all your groceries. I would call you, but I'm crying. Not because I'm sad, but tears of joy. This is about the nicest thing anyone could do for me. It has got to the point that I can only buy the necessities at the grocery store, and heaven forbid to buy things like sausage and bacon. I went before I came home, and I had five bags that were $122. I was out of milk and didn't buy it But you all, the good Lord, the milk was in the box. I just want you to know it's much appreciated, and I thank the good Lord for you and the food. Tell your church thank you from the bottom of my heart, and may God bless each of you." How blessed are you, folks? But you see, we have to humble ourselves. My gosh, as I sat in my little chair this morning, the heat was on, and I told Tammy, I said, "You know, that Blue River's running this morning." She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "That gas line, that blue flame coming from that heat coming through that gas line, it's running wide open because it don't shut off very often. But when it's 12 degrees, it's not going to. But how blessed I am that I have a Blue River running that can keep me warm." Folks, there's people everywhere this morning that do not have the things that we have. Humble ourselves to go and to meet their need, whatever their need might be. Do we do that? Or do we go home and we get in our little convenient chairs and we pull our quilt up around us and we have our selfish time, really and truly? Somebody said last night at the funeral home, said, "What are you going to do tomorrow? It's going to be cold." I said, "I'm going home, go get my quilt, get in my chair, and I'm not going to do anything." Well, I may not. I may. I don't know. But I thought about that a lot after I got home last night. And that's selfish time. That's time that it doesn't matter what the temperature is. It doesn't matter how hot or cold you are. It's a selfish time that we have, that we give and call our own. It's not ours, folks. It's God's. It's God's time. Every bit of it is. But Jesus, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave up every bit of it so that he could meet the needs that we had here on this earth. And he still today meets those needs. Folks, if you stop and think about it, if he was in control of creating the universe, creating everything, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, if he's done every bit of that and that is where he's at today, and I truly believe that with all of my heart, I couldn't say, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. He's sitting there beside God. Yet we as Christians, we as people here this morning, when it comes to our financial report, we want to call somebody at the bank. "Hey, we got to do something in the morning. My money didn't do too good last month. And we got to do something. We got to reinvest this. We got to do something different." What about talking to God about it? Maybe he'd have something that he wanted to do with it that would be totally different than anything that you would think. What about talking to God about our financial status? What about talking to God about our family? We think if there's a sickness in our family, there's no need to talk to God about it. No need, because we'll take this person to the doctor. We'll let the doctor decide what to do with them. We'll make the decision, let the doctor make the decision. I tell you what, folks, I know the greatest physician that ever lived. And it's not the doctor up here at the hospital. They're all good. They're there for a reason. Their gifts are given to them through Jesus Christ. Every one of them are gifted, but it's gifted through their knowledge, all of their talent with their hands is a gift from God. And folks, when we think that we don't have a reason to talk to God about it, we need to talk to God about it, not only for healing for our family, but for guidance for these doctors to be able to bring us the medicine that is out there for us to have today. It's all been brought to us by God. But how many of us really and truly turn it over to God? You ever think about that? You know, it's hard. And it comes to our church, or maybe things aren't just like we would like for it to be at church. How many times do we really sit and pray about it? It comes to the preacher, you say, that old preacher, he's 70-something year old, he needs to go home. He's talking about me. Hey, wait a minute. I need to go home. I know I do, and it's not going to be long. Brian's going to say, Mike, we need to probably, you know, do something different. But I hope to goodness when it comes that time, I will know as well as you that it's that time. But folks, when we have trouble, no matter what it is, what part of your life it's in, how many times do you just actually sit down and pray about it, deeply pray about it, that you have this thing that is bothering you and you need, Lord, for you to take this away? I mean, until we really turn it over to God, until we really do, then we're just wasting our time. We're spinning our wheels. One of my little adopted granddaughters, she wanted to learn how to drive, and I told her, I said, well, I'll teach you how to drive, but I said, you're not driving my truck. She said, you're not driving my truck? I said, no. I said, come on, we're going out back here. We went out there, and I had an old Datsun, had a 5-speed in it, and I put her in that thing. I said, now, when you learn how to drive this, you can drive my truck, but until you learn how to drive this truck, you're not driving mine. And so she caught right on to it pretty quick. So I cut her some roads in the field back there, and that was this road and that road and stop signs and all kinds of stuff. And I said, now, you get back there and you drive in them roads. Don't get out of them roads. So I drove with her for a while, and then in a few minutes, I got out. I said, now, you drive. And she drove back there, and she had her brother with her then. And she was driving back there in that field, Eddie. They got out and they come to the house. I said, what's the deal? She said, I don't know, slow daddy. She said, I think we tore it up. I said, you tore it up? I said, did you turn it over? No. I said, what's going on? She said, it just quit. It won't go nowhere. I said, well, I said, something's happened. I said, let's go back here and see what it is. So I got on the tractor and I went back there. And guess what? They were stuck. They didn't have a clue they were stuck. They didn't know what stuck meant, but they were in the mud, and they couldn't go nowhere. They were just spinning their wheels. And so they thought that if they spun them wheels long enough, they'd finally go, I guess. But it didn't. It just got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So I hooked a tractor to it and pulled it out. But there was a couple of lessons I told her. I said, first of all, you wasn't supposed to be over here. You see? Somewhere you're not supposed to be. And second of all, when you think you've tore something up, might not be that bad. It may just be something that's just hitting you that it's just the most terrible thing in the world. That my car's tore up, it's blowed up, but it really hasn't. All you need is just a little pull, or a push. And folks, that comes to us from our Lord, and Savior. Jesus Christ, He is the one. He is the one that has all of our answers. He's the one that has everything. I answered what they needed that day. Slow Daddy had the answer. But you know what? Slow Daddy don't have many answers. All he has is Jesus. And that's where my answers come from. That's where it all begins, and that's where it's all going to end, folks. But it says that God elevated him to the highest place of honor, and he gave him a name above all other names. So I want you to remember that. Jesus, the name above all other names. And it says that every knee shall bow. So whether you think you will bow your knee to Jesus or not, you will. It tells us every one of us will bow our knee to Jesus when we see him. On Judgment Day, we will. Whether you think you will or not, you will. And it says, in heaven and on earth, everyone will. So I mean everybody's going to. And every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. You know, every one of us realizes that Jesus is the answer. Jesus has everything we need. Every one of us know in our hearts and in our minds, but we just won't turn it loose and give it to God. We think that we can figure it out. We think that we have the answer. We think that the power that we need for this situation is going to come from somebody else. You know, those kids depended upon Slow Daddy to get them out of that mud, and I did. And I'll do anything I can for anybody, anywhere, anytime. But the thing is, I can't save you. Jesus Christ is the only one. It's through him. It's through his blood. The gift that he offers to you this Christmas. As you see the baby being born, as we come to candlelight next week, and we realize that we are here to celebrate this birth of the greatest gift. I hope, folks, it sinks in. I hope that it resonates in your heart. I hope that you see the gift that has been offered. You look at Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians 1. It says in the 19th verse, starting with 19 through 23, it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, and he seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or ledger or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him the head over all things. For the benefit of the church, and the church is the body, is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Folks, we are the body of Christ. Not only is it Grace Life Church that's the body of Christ, it's all of his churches. All of the Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches is his body. He has this available to every one of us. We are the body of Christ in this world today. We take this and go back out into the world, and the way we react to everyone that we come in contact with reflects the body of Christ. I want you to think about it, because everything that I have to just stop and say, okay, I had this one guy, and I've told you that before, and I just had to stop and say, okay, dude, you have pushed every button that I got, and I'm not the preacher no more. So now we're in another game. We're not the preacher no more. I'm going to back out of that situation for a few minutes, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to talk to you in a way that I shouldn't. And I done that, and it bothers me to today, because no matter whether I want to back out of being the preacher or not, I can't. I am the preacher. I understand there's people that get on our nerves. I understand there's people that do things to us. I understand that we can't always live a life that is the complete example of Jesus Christ. But you can't back out of being a Christian. You can't back out of being the body of Christ. You can't back out of being the preacher. You can, but you're not. It's not what you should be doing. You are the representation of Jesus Christ. And I hope we all know and understand it. Because when all of our buttons have been pushed, and all the things that sets us to the end deal, I got no more patience for this guy. And when that happens, you have to be thinking, did Jesus do that? No. What would Jesus do? We just watched it. No. He don't act like Mike Wimberly. He don't act like Mike. And so I have to think about that. And I have to think about it regularly. Because things bother me every day. Every day. You know, this morning as you get up and you see the news, and you see the news of this shooting at Brown University, that bothers me, folks. It bothers me. You see the shooting in Australia this morning where they don't even have no guns. Yeah, they do. They had one. And that dude got a hold of it. And you know, I told Tammy, I said, I hope y'all seen that video. That big dude, he walked down there and slapped that dude down and got that gun away from him. And he didn't shoot him with it. But he held it on him. And he didn't go nowhere. But he didn't shoot him with it. And somebody said this morning, said, I wonder why he didn't shoot it. Well, I don't know, but I'd say because they don't have guns over there, Rick, like we do, and he didn't know how to operate it, what I'd say. He didn't have a clue that it had a trigger on it, you know. But I don't know why he didn't shoot it, but he didn't. Maybe it was in his heart instead of in his what he could have done. Maybe it was in his heart. I don't want to kill this guy. I don't want to do that. I just want him to be caught and dealt with. But, folks, we have to stop and think about Jesus. How would Jesus respond? How would I might respond? I know how I'd respond, but how would Jesus respond? So we all, every action that we have and every action that we do reflects Christ. And, folks, his greatest gift is given to us. And I want you to know today, he loves you more than anybody. Anybody ever will here on this earth. A lot of people love you, and a lot of people tell you they love you, and they do love you. But no matter how much I love Tammy or my family or anybody, he loves us more. And I want you to think about it as you come through this Christmas season. Enjoy your greatest gift. Think about your blessing. Because you have so many blessings. Think about the food boxes that we delivered yesterday and how many people you blessed. Go out and do something for someone else today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.